Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi there, my name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In today's episode, I spoke with Dr. Rob Kowal, Chief Medical Officer of the Cardiac Rhythm and Heart Failure Division at Medtronic. In this episode, Rob and I discussed how remote monitoring and IoT is changing healthcare and how remote technology is also gaining a widespread adoption to monitor patients at home who have chronic conditions such as heart failure, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and diabetes. Hi, Rob. How are you doing today?
Hi, really good, Brianna. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining our listeners and myself for an episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast.
It's terrific.
So to get started, can you first just tell me what Medtronic is and what you do at the organization?
Yeah, so Medtronic is a large medical device company. We make a variety of devices that are predominantly implanted into people to help with any specific medical condition. Some of them are more external as well. And I have a specific role in the company. I'm the chief medical officer of the subgroup of the company that deals with implantable cardiac devices that are electronic. In other words, do pacing. They stimulate the heart if the heart rate's too slow, or they can shock the heart if there's a fast life-threatening rhythm, a device called a defibrillator.
Wonderful, thank you. So now in your field of healthcare, how do you see remote monitoring and IoT advancing?
Yeah, so I think to get to the advancing part, we need to take a little step back to frame everyone. So, you know, pacemakers have been around for 60 years. And one of the really cool things about them is they're dynamic, right? You can program them and change them. And the second thing is they collect information about themselves, how they're performing, and the patient they're in. And so through the years, there's been this need to interact with the device. And so years and years ago, the interaction would have been ironically sticking a needle into the chest to put into the device and turn to change it. Mm-hmm. That quickly went away, fortunately, to programmers that could interact. And that has evolved through the years to sophisticated programmers and then remote monitoring. And so now we actually have some patients, well, we have programmers that are not just our own proprietary programmers, but we use a tablet-based, a consumer tablet as our platform. So that has huge advantages for the ability to scale and leverage all the benefits of how those tablets work. And we can also now not only have monitors at a patient's bedside that automatically do that interaction with the device, but we've even shifted through Bluetooth signals coming from the device to have a secure connection between a patient, their device, and their iPhone to transmit that information.
Wonderful. Yeah, it seems like a very big advancement. So obviously this is just to, you know, reach patients faster or track something quicker.
Exactly. So again, it used to be that a patient would have to come into the office every 3 to 6 months and you could check the device. And if there was a surprise waiting for you, you had to deal with it.
Right.
Now what's amazing is within minutes to hours, if there's something going on with the patient or the device, the office can know about it and act on it and contact the patient and set up the next, you know, change of care plan if need be.
Okay, great. So now, why, if you can kind of add to that, why is remote tech gaining more adoption for patients who have chronic conditions like heart failure, COPD, and diabetes, for example?
So again, so you bring up a great point. This represents kind of the shift, right? Initially, remote monitoring was being done so that I could know what was going on with the device. And if something needed to be changed or altered or something was going wrong, could act on it quickly. And there's a whole array of information that remote monitoring was better than these office visits. Now you add that the devices can detect things like, is the activity level going down? Is something about the patient's respiratory rate changing that says, hey, they might have an impending heart failure exacerbation or a lung problem. Now we can get that information sooner. So again, typically you'd have to say, a patient has to call in the office if they're not feeling well, or you wait till they've arrived at the office not feeling well, or they're sick enough they come to the emergency room. These devices now give the opportunity to kind of catch this cycle even before the patient is feeling bad. And so, for example, we have an algorithm called Triage HF in our device that integrates a bunch of the information to try to send a signal to the clinic to say, hey, take a look at this patient, because their likelihood of coming into the hospital 30 days from now has gone up compared to the background. And when we do that, we can try to bend that curve and hopefully act before they need to come in.
Right. Now, I have to ask the obvious question, the biggest topic of, 2020 and now 2021. How has COVID-19, maybe advanced some of this technology? Yep. Or has it?
Yeah, no, it has. Absolutely. In a couple ways. So, one, like I said, we were amassing more evidence that remote monitoring was better than kind of standard office visits or an important addition. Now, when people couldn't come to the office or didn't want to come to the office, even more important. So we've seen adoption of remote monitoring go up even further, particularly in the United States and around the world. The second thing is, we've seen more use of what we call distance programming, where we can control our programmers at a distance, as opposed to having to have a rep or an industry support person at a hospital for every single visit. We've seen that kick up in its use and interest, because again, people because of COVID, don't want to have numbers of people in the hospital. They'd rather be able to use these remote approaches to get information and transmit it.
Right. Now, this may also tie into COVID, but with remote patient monitoring, are more of these services available or accessible to patients who fall under typically the social determinants of health?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and something we've been looking at, particularly at Medtronic, for a while. Disparities of care by gender, by ethnicity, by economic status, and again, as you point out, that's becoming amplified in our current situation. Mm-hmm. I think what's good to know is that when someone gets a defibrillator or a pacemaker, that remote monitoring piece often is part of the package. And again, while we have the opportunity to leverage Wi-Fi in someone's house, if they need a cellular adapter, we can provide that as well. So it's not perfect, right? There are still areas where someone resides where there's no Wi-Fi and there's no cellular coverage, right? But at least we're trying to bend that curve of disparity by making sure there's optionality in these, in how remote monitoring is performed. So again, I think it becomes efficiency and resource utilization. So if you look at patients who have a pacemaker or a defibrillator or what we call our CRT devices that actually try to pace to treat heart failure, who don't use remote monitoring, they have a higher resource use. They're more likely to have readmissions. If they have a problem and they have to come to the hospital, their length of stay is longer, and there's some evidence that their mortality may be higher. So shifting more people to remote monitoring, we believe, will again continue to improve outcomes. And then when you leverage the issues we have with COVID-19, where fewer people feel comfortable coming in, it accentuates that more. And so it's really going to leverage the importance of remote monitoring. And I think going forward, that's going to be even more important, right? So by having our devices connected via Bluetooth and able to use the phone as opposed to a bedside monitor as that remote monitoring tool, that opens the door to all kinds of things coming forward. The ability to interact with the patient so that not only is device data coming, but maybe questions between a clinic and the patient come as a package. We are thinking in the future about how we can tie information coming from the phone that the patient says, hey, you know, I've got these other things I'm tracking. Let me share that with you and put that together as a piece of information for the clinic. So I think by tying into kind of these consumer products like phones as a, leveraging for remote monitoring, we're essentially saying to the patient, look, when you get a pacemaker, you don't have to come to our world and change your life. We're going to bring that into your space and make it part of your world and then make your healthcare easier to deliver.
Okay. Now, obviously, like you said, you know, in the future, you still see it evolving, but I guess this is, I don't know, like, kind of like a hardball question. But how do you see, I guess, do you see it advancing even further in the future? Or
it's always going to continue. But like I said, I think without being able to kind of get to specifics, I think what we've done is created a platform on which we can grow. And the way that's going to grow is bringing the patient better into their care, right? Right now it's been, you know, the physician puts in the device and the patient, you know, and the physician interact, then the physician talks to the patient. I think the patient will become far more inclusive into that conversation that is going on between the device and that's helping them and their physician. And it will empower people to really better understand what's going on and what they need to do to get healthier as well, or stay healthy.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah. And that, again, I feel like you did touch up on a lot that I wanted to know, but if there's something that you wanted our listeners to know that maybe I didn't cover on this particular subject.
I think what I'd say is that to get to where we are has required some kind of bold thinking, right? We came up with remote monitoring before the internet existed. The team, and this well predates me, thought about leveraging Bluetooth in devices at a time when we used to shut off Bluetooth on our phones because it burned too much battery.
Right.
We're trying to solve that delicate balance between making sure our devices last as long as possible while giving patients and physicians as much insight as possible remotely. And I think the leveraging of these of Bluetooth and the ability to use smartphones and smart tablets really opens the door in a lot of ways. And I think what's going to happen is our customers, the hospitals we serve, the clinics we serve, are going to come up with ways, feed those back to us that we can then develop as well. So I think it's incredibly powerful where this can go. And I think it's going to lead the way to, really substantive benefits related to remote monitoring and leverage everything around us that's advanced.
That's wonderful. Now, this is more out of my curiosity. And when you mentioned, you know, the services or tools of like Bluetooth being involved and all that, I'm sure there are a lot of, you know, concerns about safety.
At sure. least
when all this type of technology is inside your body, it makes me think. I'm like,
absolutely. And that's something, you know, we encourage that dialogue. When I was practicing, I often have a dialogue about, you know, what is the security of these devices? And we work very carefully with the vendors who, you know, produce the Bluetooth protocols, and we work internally to make sure we have built into the very design of the devices security as part of the design, just like we would design a pacing circuit as well, right? And that's part and parcel of how these are designed. They're also designed to be upgradable so that as, you know, just like when you download an update to your phone for security, we're doing the exact same work and we work internally and externally with partners to make sure that we're not missing anything, and we update things as we need to. And then again, just from the standard performance of these devices, we continue to work to make sure that as these devices have longer and longer batteries, some of them upwards towards 15 plus years, that we can ensure and monitor the performance, whether it's the remote monitoring piece or other aspects of it as well.
Wonderful, thank you. And lastly, I probably should have asked this way earlier on, but how many people or how many, I don't say hospital systems or, you know, patients in general are using some of these, you know, products?
Oh yeah, we're talking with in the patient, millions of patients have pacers and defibrillators worldwide,
right.
And you know, tens of thousands of hospital systems, and we're talking traffic in remote monitoring of millions of transmissions in a year. It's a well used. I mean, it's one of these spaces that as systems have looked for how do I track patients, this was a space doing this for a long time and really kind of leading the way on how to get it developed.
Wonderful, thank you. Okay, well, again, that's all I had for you, and I appreciate, you know, everything. I've definitely learned a lot more about this subject in particular, but I do appreciate the time, and thank you for filling us in, all the listeners today.
Great, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.